Chené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Excited to talk to Myron Metcalf in about 10 minutes as we stare down the end of college hoop season, and it is looking more and more like we are going to limp to the finish line here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. He will join us on the Goodyear Hotline. But, Chené, no one limping and everyone apparently scrapping. Did you see Michigan and Maryland, the highlights there with Mark Turgeon and Juwan Howard? What in the world was going on? For anyone that missed it, I believe Juwan Howard was ejected, was he not, for what looked like an altercation that was starting verbally that almost became physical?
Yeah, I think people get caught up on the whole, oh, he's so cool, he's dancing like an uncle at the cookout when they win. That dude was a player, like a player. Juwan Howard, one of the greats at, you know, just competitively bringing edge to his team, which is why he's worked so well in Michigan. Don't try Uncle Juwan. Don't try him. But yeah, I saw that. I was like, oh, snap. This is the end of the year and these type of feelings and emotions, especially in a year where you're isolated. Oh, it seems heightened.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It's like a long season. Everyone's really frustrated right now. You're getting into these conference tournaments, and you're seeing all this news pop up. Like, I'd have to imagine that every big-time team, because what we've seen so far is big-time teams affected by COVID-19 as the conference tournaments have gone along. For anyone that's missed it, we now have four teams in the last 2 days that have opted out of their conference's tournament because of issues with COVID-19. Duke, Virginia, Kansas, and North Carolina A&T, who's the number one seed in the MEAC tournament there. So these have been quality teams with tournament hopes. In Duke's case, a tournament really lifeline that they were looking towards in the ACC tournament, who are now holding on for dear life. Chené, you're someone who's been through these conference tournament settings, so you know it's already such a stressful environment as you're getting ready for this. How do you think the rest of the teams in play right now are going to respond to this? If you were a top flight team, if you were someone who had major NCAA tournament ambitions, are you thinking about packing it up and going home right now?
No. I did not make it this far to go home this way. And that's what makes what happened to, you know, the teams you mentioned so heartbreaking, because I said yesterday, and I still talk to her today, Elizabeth Williams, my former teammate of the Connecticut Sun, her little brother Mark Williams, was stepping into his dominance as a center for Duke. And he was heartbroken that, you know, their team had a positive and their season's over, because that season was full of highs and lows. Like, imagine walking onto campus and you commit, you know, like the process of committing, like you commit to Duke knowing that this place can change your life, right? And then all of a sudden the world shuts down due to pandemic, but still you want to make the sacrifice of leaving your family and friends, going on campus, isolating yourself. And I know while this has, like, it all compares relative to the great work that essential workers are doing, but these student athletes have been, you know, not going to class, they've been tied up in rooms, just being extra careful, just so that they can go and create some memories with these people that they are considering family, and those are their teammates and their coaches and their, you know, athletic support staff. And so to see these teams have to drop out of either their conference tournament or even just overall the NCAA tournament after fighting to just be there and show up each and every day and do all the little things, it just breaks my heart. But I'm not surprised, because these were the realities of what the season sort of could be. The only thing that frustrates me, Junior, is like, I wish we had options where games didn't have to keep going. We like a little bit more wiggle room, like maybe a 48-hour period so that you can contact trace and get those guys out there.
Well, Chené and Golic Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit progressivecommercial.com. I think the difficulty with that is we've also got the NCAA tournament. You know, Chené, there's no wiggle room around that. That's the cash cow that they're all prizing here. And Saturday is the deadline. If you are a team that believes you're not going to be able to meet the health and safety protocols, it is Saturday, the deadline to alert the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Council so they can start to worry about the replacement process. And everything you just described there is a reason why I'd be thinking long and hard about the viability of these conference tournaments. It's like in the Saw movies when you're chained in the basement and it's, hey, my foot can go or my body can go on this spot. You cut the foot off there. And the conference tournament here, relative to this whole machine, is the foot. when you look at the NCAA tournament, because you're right, you do wait a long time. How much did we hear last year, Chiney, when the March Madness tournament was shut down, that there are players whose entire careers, the rest of their lives are made because of the things that they are able to accomplish in March Madness, mm-hmm. where we are bubbling in Indianapolis, where we are going to have everyone in one spot, versus now where we know Duke was going back and forth between Durham and Greensboro for that tournament. Who knows what happened in that process? It's going to be more streamlined, and wouldn't you rather risk it when it came to the big tournament, the thing that's your ultimate prize in all this, than something on the conference scale is my only thought here.
Yeah, that makes sense. My only question to you then is, think about a Duke, a perennial powerhouse that had a really rough season. They would potentially just not be in the NCAA tournament. Would you be comfortable with that? Or, you know, that's what you're sort of missing out on. I know that normally they would be based on the pedigree of the, you know, past few years, but these, and it's not just Duke, it's Kentucky too. I think first time that both of those two teams didn't make the NCAA tournament since 1976. Would you be comfortable with a school like Duke not having an opportunity per the tournament?
Oh no, listen, if I'm one of those teams, I'm probably sticking around for this because you need it. And I recognize all of this sounds ridiculous in the midst of what we hope is near the end of, but still a part of a global pandemic.
Oh,
like, we recognize the
it.
Ridiculous conceit. I'm just saying, if you're, yeah, I'm saying, Janae, if you're a team who's already got their tournament
yeah.
ticket punched
oh, I'm not
in
coming.
All of this.
I'm not
yeah.
showing up. Oh.
There we go. I was gonna say, there we go. All right, we have arrived at the same place.
I thought
here
we're
now.
Talking about conference like tournaments overall. I was like, I don't know, you know,
no,
getting that final run and, you know, getting the winner.
Well, and we did talk about that, and this was one of the fears. So coming up next, Myron Metcalf, our great ESPN college basketball analyst. We're going to ask him. We're holding these conference tournaments a mistake based on what we've seen now and some of these outbreaks. We'll do that after this word for Body Armor.
Oh, you're so right, Junior. I would not show up. My team is staying safe and healthy at home, and we're about to turn out March Madness. Now, you know, talk about the craziness of March. Body crazy. Workout ready. Always make sure you have your big drink on deck to stay hydrated. Let Body Armor Light help you achieve your fitness goals this year. Body Armor Light is a low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. Guess what? It has no artificial sweeteners. It also has no sugar added, and only 20, yes, 20, only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Now, athletes like myself, Michael Jinger, albeit retired, Mike Trout, Sabrina Ionescu, and Dustin Johnson all use Body Armor Light to stay hydrated, so why not give it a try? No, I'm serious. I'm talking to you. Why not give it a try? Because from now until April 30th, you can buy $20 of any Body Armor product and earn $10 in fitness cash to select fitness retailers nationwide. That means you can get bulk, you can stay in shape, and you can do that at a discount. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That is bacommittofit.com. All right, we talked about it, but how much trouble is March Madness in right now as more teams have had to leave their conference tournaments due to COVID? We'll get to that right after this on Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live. Come look at us. He's so cute today on ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Coming up a little later, I got something for all you dorks that say you can't pay a quarterback and still go out and field a Super Bowl roster. It's getting ridiculous. Life is going to continue to make you eat your words.
He called Chiney you dorks.
I meant it, too. Chiney Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agwumike. Reminder, we are only going up till 6 Eastern tonight. You had 4 hours of us yesterday. You get 2 hours of us today. We're taking you up to coverage of Baylor and Oklahoma State. That's going to start on ESPN Radio at 6 o'clock Eastern. And that is a couple of the teams still playing in the conference tournaments this week. And we know there has been some difficulty with that right now. And so for more on updating the status of college basketball as we head towards March Madness, we're delighted to go to the Goodyear Hotline, where we're joined by Myron Metcalf, our ESPN college basketball reporter and host that you hear here on ESPN Radio. And Myron, we appreciate the time. More news today. Kansas out of the tournament now for the Big 12. Virginia out of the tournament for the ACC. Is it looking more and more like it was a mistake to hold these conference tournaments knowing the big prize is about a week away?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to argue against that. I mean, the people who have that perspective, I will say, you know, it's a handful of teams right now. I think the bigger question is going to be, in terms of answering that question, will be what happens next week. You know, will teams not be allowed to go into the Indianapolis bubble because they haven't past the requirement? So that's still the major question. But I think for everyone who said, hey, we should put more room between the conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament, or just cancel the conference tournaments as a whole, you kind of understand where they're coming from on a day like this.
Myron, before I get to my real question, are you preparing? Like, I know there's been a lot of news. And are you preparing considering that you're going to go into the NCAA bubble?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready to go. Yeah, I don't know what to expect. I got masks. I probably wear like 4 masks. I'll be that dude. But I think I'll be ready to go once we get in.
Hey, safety first. Very proud of you. And since you have a great pulse of what's happening on the court collegiately when it comes to basketball, how have you heard, you know, these coaches or even the players respond? I've mentioned a couple of times, like I talked to, you know, Mark Williams' sister, Elizabeth Williams, and he was heartbroken from not being able to play. What is the pulse you've gotten on the ground for, you know, seeing all these teams having to drop out?
I mean, I think there's just nervousness from a lot of people. You know, again, this is bad. I mean, to see Virginia and Duke and Kansas end up in this situation. But, you know, bad is going to come Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday if teams can't get into the bubble, if teams have to be replaced by the replacement teams that the NCAA has established. So I think there's just a level of nervousness. I mean, I've talked to coaches who are still in the ACC bubble, and there is a sense of, like, you know, is everyone communicating, kind of what's going on? So I think people just want to get from today to the NCAA tournament, and I think that's the great concern, because these teams are doing what they've always done all season. So it's not like this is new. This isn't last March, and the protocols are suddenly a new thing. They've been doing the same thing, so it's kind of odd that some of these tests are coming right now.
Myron Metcalf with us, our ESPN college basketball reporter. So, Myron, when you said you've heard those coaches express some concerns, have any of them expressed the possibility of maybe saying, hey, we're already a team we believe that's going to make the NCAA tournament. We don't think we need this. Let's bag the rest of this and just make sure we're bunkered down till the tournament starts.
Yeah, I haven't heard that, but let's give it 24 hours, right? I mean, yeah. I don't think anyone went into this week thinking that Duke would pull out of the ACC tournament. No one expected Kansas and Virginia to withdraw. So I feel like anything could happen here in the next 24 hours. But I haven't heard that. Now, granted, you've got some teams that have an advantage. The Big Ten is playing in Indianapolis. They basically have to walk across the street to go and play in the NCAA tournament. So I just think schools feel like being on the road and together is still their best opportunity. But that's not every situation. There are a number of coaches who – have already won their conference tournaments. They're back home on campus. You have to pass 7 consecutive negative tests. That's what you have to get in order to get into the Indianapolis bubble. So we're a long way from saying that we're going to have this field of 68 and that everybody's going to be okay. We don't know yet, and we're not going to know until this thing starts next Friday.
Chinee Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr., and Myron Metcalf, our own ESPN college basketball reporter and ESPN radio host, here with us on Chinee and Golic Jr. And Myron, you talked about the necessity to tell people that you have to have those 7 consecutive tests, which gives me at least good feelings that those that make it in the bubble, and if that thing is protected, we'll probably hopefully get similar outcomes as the NBA, the WNBA we found out in months past. But another thing that came out was that the NCAA came out and said that they need just 5 healthy players to play in an NCAA tournament game. Are you nervous when you hear, like, you only need 5, and then if those 5, like, I'm the type of player that always was in foul trouble. And so, like, we might be stepping into circumstances that maybe the normal, you know, viewer that might just tap in to March Madness is probably going to be like, whoa, this is a lot of factors in the equation.
Well, I think it's kind of crazy to think that you would have 5 players, but the NCAA says you can do it. Now, what I think will happen, if that situation arises, you're going to have some new players suddenly on the team. You know, there's going to be a couple cousins who are suddenly team managers, toss them a jersey. Hey, you've been around the team. I know you're friends with that dude. You come along too. I just don't see a situation where a team is really going to play with 5 players. But to your point, if it happens, what do you do with the fatigue? What do you do with potential injury? I think that's a worst-case scenario, and I think any team in that situation would have to think long and hard, like, do we really want to do that? The good news is that there is the potential for players who can't get in to come back down the line. So let's say you got a messed-up situation, you got 6 or 7 players in the first weekend, but you somehow advance. There is a window for those players who couldn't play in the first couple games to come back. It's just going to be chaotic, and I wonder how many teams are going to be 100%. Because I think that's the big question for everybody.
Yeah, I know we hear no one's 100% this time of year in every sport late in the season, but this year certainly has a very different tone and tenor to it when we know the backdrop for all of this. Myron, we appreciate the time. We're looking forward to hearing from you inside the bubble. We're looking forward to hearing you on the call with ESPN Radio for the Big 12 Championship tomorrow, coverage starting at 5:30 Eastern. So hope everything goes well. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
The great Myron Metcalf, our ESPN college basketball reporter, with us here on Shanae and Golic Jr. Reminder, we're taking you up to coverage of that Big 12 tournament semifinal tonight, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Baylor and Oklahoma State. But coming up next, another big-time fourth-quarter performance from an NBA star that one of our analysts says needs to enter the MVP chat. And it's not just me talking about James Harden again. We'll get to that after this word from Omaha Steaks. Now, last week I told you about the deliciousness of Omaha Steaks and their excellent, excellent Butcher's Bestseller Grill Pack. You've seen my family. We are a collective slab of beef. We are athletes everywhere, and we are big skill when it came to the football spots. And so we thrive on lots and lots of meat. It took a lot to feed our family. Thankfully, now we have ButcherBox to help make that easier. If you need a reminder, 4 filet mignons in the Butcher's Bestseller Pack, 4 burgers, 4 pork chops, desserts, and so much more. And if you still haven't purchased a pack, head to omahasteaks.com today and enter Golic, G-O-L-I-C, in the search bar. You're not only going to get a special price for that Butcher's Bestseller Pack, you're also going to get 4 more burgers and 4 more chicken breasts for free. The price of On the House, free 99. It's all good. Go to omahasteaks.com, type keyword Golic into the search bar, and order the Butcher's Bestseller Pack today. Don't forget, that's 4 free chicken breasts, 4 burgers, all just typing the name Golic in. omahasteaks.com, keyword Golic. Back after this, Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
All right, we're about 10 minutes away from assessing the quarterback situations of two NFL franchises that are going to be tied together for the near future here, grading these new signings and what they tell us about the future. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Our thanks to Myron Metcalf for joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, our ESPN college basketball analyst, getting us ready for the Big 12 tournament coming up tonight on ESPN Radio at 6 Eastern, and the NCAA tournament and all the challenges it faces next week. Now, Janae and Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Janae, this is a show that appreciates seasoning in all its forms. And so I'd ask you, if you think there is one bit of seasoning that we like the most around here, what would you say it is?
Man, is it, I don't know. What is one?
It's salt.
Oh, okay.
We love a good bit of salt.
I was like, are we trying
here
to go Cajun? Lemon pepper? We talk about lemon pepper here. I was like, how fancy are we about to go?
I wanted to see how deep in the spice bag you were willing to go for this one. But we can skim it right off the top, Janae, because
you're right.
Kyrie Irving was back at it last night. And Kyrie Irving, when he is good, is one of the most enjoyable NBA players to watch. He is a phenomenon. But Kyrie Irving, when he's good and salty, that's the real stuff right there. Now, Kyrie Irving last night was a part of a dominant, great fourth quarter performance against the Boston Celtics that got the Brooklyn Nets a win to start the back half of the season. Kyrie Irving last night, before he even stepped to the podium, became third on the Brooklyn Nets list of career 40-point games. He had his fifth 40-point game since joining the Nets last season, behind only John Williamson and Vince Carter. So first and foremost, Janae, does that say more about Kyrie or more about the Nets that he is now third on that list?
Absolutely says more about the Nets. With 5 40-point games?
What? In 2 years, like 2.5 years? I don't know how to make that make sense, Janae. Now, Kyrie has been sensational in the fourth quarter. There are 3 players this season that are averaging 6 points on 50% from the field over 50% from threes in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter.
Yeah, is it Dame?
No. I'll give you another guess.
Steph?
Yes.
Yes!
Any guess of the last one?
James?
Kevin Durant.
Wait,
Kevin
what?
Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Steph Curry are the only 3 players averaging
teammates
6 points in the fourth, with 50% shooting and over 50% from 3 in the fourth quarter. That's Kyrie in the fourth quarter, but I promise you, Kyrie Irving in the postgame is even better because he was playing against the Boston Celtics. So I perked up. I said, okay, revenge game, former team. And me, like everyone else, saw him dapping guys up after the game, a lot of very long, protracted hugs over there. And we said, oh, that was pretty surprising. Kyrie took notice and said after the game in jest, big surprise to a lot of people, quote, all that bleep talking about me and all the relationships I have with every former teammate of mine. Chiney, is he right to throw shots back at the media, or were we right to criticize what seemed like a difficult pairing at times in Boston?
We're right to criticize because when Kyrie Irving was with Boston, there was a power struggle because we knew we were witnessing the emergence of Jason Tatum, who's now an all-star, Jaylen Brown, first-time all-star. And it just seemed like those three conflicted. Then you throw in Kemba Walker coming in. Like, it just was not the seamless idea of a stacked backcourt, the way that the Brooklyn Nets have a seamless stacked backcourt now. So the criticism of Kyrie and his involvement when he was with the Celtics was rightfully so, based on what we saw, which got him out of that team. And I think also Kyrie snapping back and saying, guess what? Like, you can't stop me, though. 40 points. Like, anytime he wants to take over, I still say, and, you know, for me, the best shot I've ever witnessed, and I know, y'all, I'm young, I'm a millennial, I've watched the YouTube stuff, but for me, in a live game was 2016 Game 7, where he took down the dynasty of the Warriors with that shot, going to the right, got the switch. Like, he's a killer. He is killer Kyrie in moments, clutch time. And I know that's what a lot of people say, like, oh, it's going to be interesting to see who, you know, he defers to. That's going to be a flow of game thing. And the crazy thing is the teammate you defer to is also one of the best in clutch time in KD per your list. So, you know, the criticism was right with the Celtics. And I'm glad that Kyrie is talking because guess what? He has the game to back it up.
I'm glad he just didn't send this out in a memo to the media written on his Instagram account and actually said it in the post-game press conference.
He doesn't want that fine again.
That wasn't even the biggest thing said about or from Kyrie Irving. Listen to Stephen A. Smith on First Take talking about Kyrie Irving and three very important letters.
We've been talking about Embiid. We've been talking about James Harden. We've been talking about LeBron James. Kyrie Irving has to be on the league MVP list. The brother's a showstopper. Let's just call it what it is. Let's just call it what it is. The brother is a showstopper. I can't take it away from him. I think that Kyrie Irving right now is the greatest show in the NBA.
Chiney Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Is he wrong?
This is why I needed to be on First Take that day. Yo, I would have come with the heat. How long is this MVP list talking about? Is it 10? Then maybe, sure. But typically it's about 3 to 5 deep. And as much as I think Kyrie is a showstopper, which he absolutely is, what he does with the ball makes you want to glue yourself to your screen. What we've seen has been consistency from his teammate James Harden. There's Nikola Jokic. There's LeBron James. There's Joel Embiid out there making waves. And even Steph Curry making a push. And all of those guys outside of Kyrie has been they have been consistent on the floor the entire year. That's cute. That's cute.
It's just interesting to me, Chiney. The first half of the season, I remember there was one point where he was on the verge of becoming, if it lasted for a season, one of four players in NBA history to average over 25 points, shooting 50-40-90, 50% from the field, 40% from three, and 90 from the free throw line. So he has been, I think, quietly, because the James Harden MVP train is still chugging along over here, he has very quietly been balling at an elite level this year, which is a reminder of the juggernaut that Brooklyn Nets team is. At Chiney and at Mike Golic Jr., if you want to get at us on Twitter, is Kyrie Irving worthy of being in the MVP conversation?
Much respect, Stephen A.
And listen, hey, that's why he gets paid the big bucks. But coming up next, someone else who got big bucks today prompted this question. Tom Brady, more likely to win two more Super Bowls or play out the 4 years of the extension he just signed? We'll answer next here on ESPN Radio.